Life is a journey. There's fun times and hard times. Delight, devastation. Gladness and sadness. How do you keep the attitude that God wants you to keep on the journey? Yeah, I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes the smallest verses in the Bible are the hardest ones to live out. You know? Philippians 4:4. Very simple. Rejoice always. Again, I say, rejoice. Pretty simple, right? Rejoice always. You know? I'm glad you guys got that down. We can just move on to other things, right? Well, no, that's really going to be our theme this month, Lord willing, here. We're just going to walk this out. What does it mean to be choosing joy in our journey? And I was excited coming back from the sabbatical to have God lead us in this direction and to be going this way. And many of you know, I've told you this many times, that if you're going to teach the Word of God, you can expect God to test you on the Word you're going to teach. If you tell God yes in a certain situation, then you can expect then for Him to say, oh, great, let's experience that by faith. See, when you can see it, it's easy. But we walk by faith, not by sight. And so as I walk through some of the pain that I am in, I'm hoping to just embrace the work of God and let you see it. You know, I was very thankful. The elders actually said, James, if you need some time away this week to just process your loss, go ahead and take that. And I said, no, I think I want to do this with the family. And wrestled with that all week. What were you possibly thinking? but that's exactly what he said. Go ahead and stay there, you know. I want to help you discover this thing that the joy of the Lord really is our strength. And so today we come, and I'm just going to start walking through some of this story about anticipating the Lord and what it means to welcome Him into our lives. Zacharias had waited for this day his whole life. Oh, he had served in the rotation that was given to the priests before many times because he'd been serving probably 50 years now as a priest. And yet, as he came this time, there was an awe and a wonder because for the first time in his life, he had been selected to offer incense to the Lord. And he was coming not into the Holy of Holies, but into the holy place. And he had this awe. And as he stepped forward, all of a sudden there was this flash of blinding light there to the right of the altar and voice speaking to him. Do you ever think what it would have been like to be some of these people in the Bible? We read through these stories so easily. I want to take you in to the experience of Zacharias and of Elizabeth. And so in Luke chapter 1, if you'll turn there, it says, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias in the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. It means that they were both of the priestly tribe. It says, they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. That doesn't mean that they never sinned, but it means that when they sinned, they took their sacrifice to God and they put their faith in God's forgiveness through the sacrifice. But it's so important, I think, that it tells us that they were both righteous because the next verse says they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. And they lived in a child-focused society, that the mark of blessing was children. That the mark of God's honor in your life was children. And yet it says they were walking blamelessly, and yet they were experiencing barrenness. You know, sometimes as you begin to follow God, you wonder, why am I experiencing such barrenness? Why am I experiencing such deprivation? Because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And today I want you to see, even in that place, God wants you to have joy. And so it happened, verse 8, while he was performing his priestly service before God, in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Only one person would go in. And so there's this whole group of guys that are serving in rotation. Once a month, a different rotation would come and serve. And as he got selected to be the one who offered the incense. Now, some of us would not have wanted that appointment, because if you didn't do that right, you could die in God's presence. Okay, that had happened before. Aaron's sons died that way. But this is this high honor. And so it says, the whole multitude of people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. That's, and you know that when you see these pictures in the Bible, they're all there. The incense was a picture of prayer. The prayers of the saints ascending to God. And so they're all out praying. And he says, as he's in there, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. Hey, you haven't been here before. He's never been to that place, even in the temple before, because that was only at this time he would step. As he steps in, and all of a sudden, oh, I did it wrong. Isn't that what you'd be thinking? You know, angel shows up, you're not thinking, oh, cool, good news, this will be great. No, he's thinking, I'm toast. Man, I thought I had this right. Do you live in that dread sometimes as you approach God? That, you know, I'm trying to do it right. I'm trying to get it together. And now I've got this great opportunity. And what? Instead of being all excited, you're just like, oh, God, don't let me blow it. And what are you thinking about? You're thinking about blowing it. So here he is. He's in fear. He is troubled. But the angel said to him, as the angels always do, by the way, the message that's coming from God to earth is good. You understand that when you read the book? That the message coming from heaven to earth is good. That God's got a good intention for you. He says, do not be afraid, Zacharias. I love that. He calls him by name. He says, I know exactly who you are. He says, for your petition has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children, and to the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Get this. Can you imagine? Here he is. He's standing here offering this incense, and there's just this censer that he's holding, and it's lit with a coal, and so there's smoke arising, and there's this angel standing here saying, I've heard your prayer. That one that you've been praying for decades. You understand? I mean, heard your prayer. Most of us would go, what? Which one? You know? But he instantly clarifies that issue. He says, your wife, Elizabeth, is going to bear you a son. There could be no greater joy for a man in Israel than to have a son, particularly a priest, because that means he is going to have a son who will rise up and will serve the Lord as he did in the place of honor. And so this was the most greatest thing he could be told. And so he's told he's going to have a son. He's told what the name is of his son. You're going to name him. He's told all these things, and here he is in this great place. You're going to have joy and gladness. And now, somebody listening to me today may be wrestling with this very issue that they're wrestling with. Barrenness is hard when you want a child. This is a severe pain when you want a child. And if you're in that place, God knows that. He understands that. But he says, you're going to have joy and gladness. And he says, and a lot of people are going to be happy. They're going to be rejoicing. So here he is. God gives him the best news that he has ever heard in his whole life. The very best news he could possibly hear. And you're thinking, all right, right now, what I'm thinking, if this was a person receiving the message, he is breakdancing in the temple of God. All right, he's just cutting loose, okay? He's shouting glory. Wow! Hallelujah! I'm going to be a father! And by the way, how old were they? It says he was advanced in years, okay? Now, you want to say, the Bible doesn't tell us how old advanced in years is. Well, you know, if you study your Bible, it actually does. Because over in chapter 2, when it says Anna was serving in the temple, and it says she was advanced in years. By the way, she was 84. Okay, so he might not have been 84, but the certain indication you see by his response here in a moment is that he feels old. All right. Now, my children tell me I'm old, and sometimes I feel old, but I don't usually say I'm old. Okay, I'm not quite there yet. Okay. So he's old, and you would think he would be shouting glory. What does he say? Look what he says. He says, hey, how will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. How will I know this for certain? Friends, doubt and unbelief can steal your joy at the greatest point of your blessing. Where God is working what you've been asking for, and at that very moment, you're still not experiencing the joy of God. Circumstances are no guarantee of joy. That comes by choice. Right? Cynicism can rob you of the exhilaration of feeling God's love in your life. Because you're still thinking about the past. Or you're focused on yourself. Friends, that's why I want us to look here today at this idea of discovering joy in God's promises. Because God's promising him something right here. And there's a joy that he's going to have. But guess what? He's not got it yet. All right? You've been there? You're in this process and you know God's with you. And yet you're not able to let go. You're not able to rejoice and to step in. Friends, what does he say? He says, how will I know for certain? Why? Because my wife and I are advanced in years. What's he looking at? Himself. Hey, you want to stay depressed, just keep looking at yourself. That's a recipe for depression. You keep looking at yourself, look at your limitations, look at your failures, look at what hasn't happened yet that you had hoped would happen by this time in your life, and you got a recipe for depression. My friends, there's a promise here. And understand this. The promises of God have nothing to do with probability. Nothing. See, that's what we want to think. We hear a promise, we go, oh, how would that happen? No, if God says it, it's going to happen. That's all you have to know. You don't have to know how. You just have to believe what he says. And so here's this first principle I want you to see, is that God's promises invite us into the reality that God wants you to experience. See, God has something that he wants to do in your life. Do you believe that? See, you may have been waiting for a long time for something. You say, you know, I never have really seen the work of God in my life. I'm here to tell you the book says that God has a reality that he wants you to experience. And maybe sometime in the past, you had some great disappointment. But are you going to believe the promise of God now? You know, I found talking to my father just a few months before he died that he had begun preparing for the ministry. That he was studying for the ministry. And the man who was teaching him died of a heart attack. And he says, I just felt like the door slammed. He said, I just went another direction. And you may have had a door slam in your life, but there's a promise that God gives, and it is beyond human comprehension. But understand this, your Bible is packed with promises about what God wants to do in your life. And he's got declarations in here about his plans for your future. And so this is not, the Christian faith is not about some intellectual reality that's lived up here somewhere in your head. It's about an experience that God wants you walking out day by day with great joy. So you got to get to know God. That's really what this is about. And so think about this. He's got all this stuff going on, and God wants... He says, God's got this plan for you. Your view of God affects your faith greatly. You understand his identity. Understand who God is and what he's like. Because, you know, I had that view for a long time that God was the hammer. I'm sorry, it's not good theology, but I mean, that was just so many things I had experienced brokenness, and it was usually because I was out of line, off the road or whatever, and God's discipline had come into my life, and in those places I just began saying, okay, here comes the hammer again. You know, and you just begin to dread the work of God. And yet his identity is that God has good news for you in his promises. He's got good news for you. And the Bible is full of that. He wants to fill you with his joy. And so the Bible says anytime you see a story in the Bible, it is written there for your instruction. And so I'm looking at the story today saying, okay, now some of you don't want a child in your old age. That is all right. Okay. Some of you, that's just a scary, scary thought. But that child is new life. And I'm hoping that you want your life bringing forth new life no matter what your age is. Is that you are becoming that new person. But God wants to fill you with his joy. Jesus said it this way in John 15, verse 11. Would you just read this with me? John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. And I've spoken this, and he goes through that whole chapter there, so that you'd get my joy, and what? And your joy would be full. So he says, and not just that you get how joyful I am. See? I think, oh yeah, God's happy. God's having a good time. I'm just with him. But no, he says, that your joy would be what? 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 Full. Are you joyful? See, that's God's intention. That's the fruit of the Spirit. He says that you would have fullness of joy. All right? So this principle here, that his identity, that God has good news for you in his promises, that's his plan that he wants to be working out in your life. All right? The question you got to ask is, does God really have good in mind for me? Because you can get to a cynical place where you're not believing that. And when I find myself in that dark spot, what am I usually doing? It's back to what Zacharias is doing. I'm looking at myself. I'm looking at my past and saying, I wouldn't bless that guy. I wouldn't. But I'm looking at me. But who's the one who's making the promises? God is. Look at him and see his character in your life. He knows your hurts. He knows your fears. He knows your losses. He knows your poverty. He knows your pain. And he knows your prayers. And Zacharias gets a little lesson here. He says, how will I know for certain? Now, this is just maybe the preacher reading in here just a little bit, but I get the feeling Gabriel was insulted. So that's the way I read it. He says, the angel answered and says, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. I'm Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Do you know where I live? And do you know who sent me to you with this good news? It's fine. Behold, you will be silent, unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. Now, here's something for us, friends. Now, he gets a little discipline here, all right? You know, little whack on the back, all right? But the promise is still going to be fulfilled. I think we think so much of this is all tied up in us, and I have to, oh, I blew it, now I won't get a kid. Oh, I did this wrong, now I'm not going to get the blessing. No, God intends to bring blessing in your life. But if you don't believe, if you won't receive it, he will deal with the unbelief, because that's no place to live. Okay? And when God's dealing with unbelief, when God's bringing discipline into your life to expose your areas of unbelief, don't think God's down on you, God's up on you. He loves you. That's why he's disciplining you. Isn't that why you disciplined your children most of the time? Yeah. Some of the time it was anger. That's the truth. Okay. But really what it was is you wanted to see them experience the blessing of life. And so you discipline them. And so if God's at work in your life, understand that, friends. Do you know who you are? Gabriel did. He knew exactly who Zacharias was. He was the one that God had chosen to bless. And that's who you are. You're a person that God has chosen to bless. You believe that? I am so overwhelmed right now with how blessed I am. How much grace God has poured out on me. And you feel sometimes so unworthy because you are. And that's because we got this warped idea in our minds that somehow blessing comes by worthiness as opposed by God's generosity, by God's grace. It's not earned. There's a walk he's calling you to walk, but that doesn't earn blessing. Blessing is the grace of God in your life. And so here he is. He's all messed up. But did you see what he did? This is so classic for us. He goes, how could I know this for certain? Okay, now understand, he didn't just say, hey, you might have a kid sometime. No. He lists stuff here. Did you see the list? He says, God's heard your prayer. You will have a son through Elizabeth. Not going to have that problem Abraham had, thinking it was, okay, she's not doing it, so we'll get Hagar. Skip the Hagar route, friends. It creates problems in the family. Okay, he says, you're going to name him. He gives him the name of his son. He tells him it's going to produce joy. He says other people are going to get involved in the party. And the sixth thing he says, he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. I don't think there's anything more exciting to a father than to know that your child is going to do great things for God. Have you prayed that for your kids, by the way, parents? That's what you ought to be praying. I know you want them to stop doing this and start doing that, but get beyond that, because that phase is going to go away quick, and pray some great things for your kids. And I don't care how old they are, keep praying it. Keep praying it. And so he says he's going to be great, and then he says this is not about being a teetotaler here. He says he's not going to drink wine or liquor. What he's saying, he'll be a Nazarite. He will be devoted to God from the time he's born. And then the next thing he says, and this has never been recorded ever in Scripture before that I saw. And if you see it someplace, you can correct me later. But he says he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's still in the womb. He says God is going to put an anointing on him before he's ever born. And by the way, if you don't get the point on that, if God's anointing people with the Holy Spirit when they're in the womb, we ought not to be killing them there. All right? We need to be valuing that life. We need to be sanctifying that life and setting that apart. And then he says he's going to lead many to turn back to God. And then what? That last message is what? He says he is the forerunner of the Messiah. This is the one that's been prophesied. He's going to come like Elijah. He says, Messiah is going to be announced by your son. How will I know this for certain? Hello? Do you understand? And I want to play with this a little bit because I'm Zacharias and you're Zacharias, aren't we? God makes specific promises. God works in incredibly specific ways in your life. And you say, are you still with me, God? Didn't he say he was going to be? Friends, when you're in this spot and you're wrestling with your focus, I want you to remember that the God of heaven came down to this earth in a body named Jesus Christ. And he said, until now you've asked for nothing. Ask and you will receive. Why? That your joy might be made full. And he said, what? I'm the reflection of the Father. You understand that the Father wants you blessed. The Father wants you asking. The Father wants you entering into an intimate relationship with him. He wants to bless you. And so sometimes we just get so dehydrated in this life as you're going through life because you're not drinking in the Word. Isn't that right? And you need to build faith in your life. And I just walk through all these verses again because I want you to see those were specific promises that were given to him. But this book is full of specific promises that are given to you. And so when a person gets dehydrated, oftentimes when they come into the ER, the first thing they do is they slap what? They slap an IV in them. And that is exactly what you and I as believers need. We need an IV. Do you know what an IV is? It is an inspired verse. All right? You need an inspirational verse. You need an inspirational verse. When you're in that spot of dehydration, when you're in that spot of feeling dried out, you need an inspirational verse that says, this is who God is. This is what he said to me. Friends, this is where I go again and again and again. Sometimes people say, James, how do you do this? I do this by the inspiration of the Word of God. Is it speaks to me and it fills me up even in my brokenness and my weakness. And out of dryness, there's a well. It's amazing. Okay. I can't even take you there, but there's this great verse over in Psalms 94 where he says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, Psalms 94, 19, he says, your consolations delight my soul. Psalms 94, 19. And it's in your notes there. It's written down in there. Anything I refer to, it's written down there. You can study it later. But the idea says, when I'm full of anxiety, he says, your consolations, what? The inspirational verses delight my soul. They bring me back to a focus. So he did not believe. He didn't get, he had the good news given to him in great detail and he did not believe it. What are you doing with the good news of God? The Bible says, everyone who believes on him receives forgiveness of sin. Can you get better news than that? Because you've sinned. I don't need to tell you that. Okay? But he says, everyone who believes receives forgiveness. There is forgiveness for you in God's presence. That's one of those IVs, one of those inspirational verses that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Friends, God wants more from you than reading that Bible. I know a lot of times that's what you hear the preacher tell you. Read your Bible, read your Bible. Well, that you got to do that to get to the next spot. But the point of reading your Bible is believing the Bible and the one who wrote it. Do you understand that? It's not just, I'm going to go do this duty. No, I'm going to enter into relationship with the author and walk it out. Because his intention is for you to experience joy. Zacharias was supposed to be having the best day of his life. Up until a point, the next day was coming when the baby was born. You know. Friends, God's intention for you. What is his intention? His intention is that God wants you to experience his joy by believing his promise. See, he's told him he's got joy for him, and he rebukes him for not having it. So that's how I kind of pull this principle out of there, is that he says, you're going to not be able to talk about it. Now, can you imagine? Okay, you got the best news. Now you got a sign so you know it's coming true, and now you can't talk about it. I'm thinking he's working on serious sign language at this time. I mean, he may not be very good with charades when he was a kid, but I'm thinking he's working on this one. All right? But I want you to think about this. It says verse 22, so when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them. I would love to have seen that. What was he trying to tell him? All right. So he remained mute. And the days of his priestly service were ended. He went back home. Remember, they went in, they did their rotation, and they went home at the end of the month. Question. Do you think he told Elizabeth? Okay, that'll get you slapped. Come home and show your wife. You got to be like this. You know, without the words. Okay. Call your wife fat. That's just a general opportunity to get a black eye. Okay, can you imagine him trying to figure out how to communicate? Little one. I mean, how is he going to get this message across? I don't know exactly, but I'm just saying, you know, verse 24, these days Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. I think he communicated something to her. And she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace. She says, God has blessed me. Friends, God wants you to experience joy by believing his promises. And I think Zacharias and Elizabeth got this. And I've even got a verse to prove it. Turn me over to verse 45. Now I'm going to skip a story here. You'll have to read it on your own. But Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, remember? And when Mary comes, John, who's now inside Elizabeth's tummy, not a fetus, John. That's a baby in there. Okay, he's got a name already. John leaps in the womb for joy when he hears Mary's voice. And here's what Elizabeth says. Get this. And blessed is she who believed. Yeah, because we didn't. See, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. I don't have time to go into Mary's story. We're going to get into that in the days ahead. But what? She believed it. Friends, his intention is that God wants you to experience joy when you believe the promise. You experience the joy. When you're facing pain, when you're facing problems, remember what? The promises. You know your circumstances. Do you know his declarations in those places? I got a whole sermon wrapped up in this verse. I can't do the whole sermon, but I want you to read it with me. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is a God of hope. Amen? He's a God of hope. He has hope for you. I don't know what your hopeless situation is in your life, but he has hope for you. That's who he is. He wants to fill you with all joy and all peace. How? It's in believing. Joy and peace comes by believing. It doesn't come by reading. It comes by saying, that's true for me. That's true for me. The psalmist said, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I go into despair unless I believe. And friends, that's where I go. I'm so thankful that most Sundays when I come, he's filled me up and I am in joy. But that is not where I spend my whole week. Okay, I'll just be honest with you because some of you are there. And I want you to know, it is not uncommon for us to hit the valleys and to wrestle with the feelings about our perspectives. But get this, God's got promises in this book for you. And I want you to get into it and discover what he's got for you. Belief is an agreement with God about his goodness and his intention. And I was thinking about how to illustrate this for you this morning, and I got it. I picked this up in my box on Friday. Paycheck. Yes, we all like paychecks, isn't that right? And this paycheck has my name on it. Okay, it's written to me, but it's not in my account. It's somebody else's account. And there's funds written in here that are for me, that somebody else has authorized that I would receive. Right? So, I can read that, but that does not change my account at my bank to read it, does it? No. I have to take this check to my bank, and I have to what? Endorse the check. I have to identify that I am who I am. Right? And that I have the rightful claim upon this gift this recipient of funds, and this applies to me, and so I sign my name to the check. I endorse the check saying, this is me, and it's for me. Friends, that's what you need to do with the promises of God, is endorse the check. You can read it all day long. It's when you go back and you say, Father, it says here that I will have everything I need for life and godliness. Thank you for that. You see, you begin thanking God, begin affirming the promise, begin stepping forward. When you say, this check is for me, take God at His word. Because that's why God gave you His word. That's why He gave it to you. So endorse the check. Now, I want you to understand something. I am not being the PMA, you know, positive mental attitude kind of person here today. I'm not talking about looking at this with rose-colored glasses. Do you understand that before they got to this day, Zacharias and Elizabeth had probably experienced 50 years of barrenness? Okay, the blessing of God comes in our life, and there's times when you may wait decades to see what you're waiting to see, but I'm here to tell you there's a God who is there for that. There's times when you read in the Bible, you know, and we say, wow, isn't it amazing? Those Corinthians were being challenged to be generous by Paul, and he talks about who? He talks about all those guys who were living in affliction and poverty, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Out of their affliction and poverty, they overflowed with joy in their giving. They were impoverished, and yet they were generous. So it's not about your circumstances, but you can come into difficult circumstances and still experience the blessing of God, is what I'm trying to say. When you read about the story of the book of Acts, and you hear about the church, and it says, you know, some of them were selling their property and giving for those who had need. And we get all excited about that. Look at that generosity. And most of us are like, I'm not so sure I want to give my stuff away to bless somebody else. That's a whole different sermon. But I want you to hear this. If they were having to sell stuff to give away to help people in need, what? You also had people in extreme need. You see, sometimes when we read the Bible, we just hear the happy spot. We don't recognize there's extreme need spots. There's decades of loss and difficulty spots. Naomi came back saying what? Just call me bitter. Call me Mara. So some of you may be here today and you're hearing this joyful message about God wants joy for you, and you're going, yeah, James, if you had what I had happen to me, you wouldn't understand what you're saying. You wouldn't believe that. I can't tell you what I've experienced in my life, but I can tell you this, plenty of pain. But I've got a God that has an answer for every pain with a promise. And that's what I want you to believe in. His promises. Because joy is found through believing God's promises in all circumstances. And so as you're listening to me today, I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't have to. I just have to know the Savior's promises. They apply in all circumstances. Even Job, as he stood there beside the graves of all of his children, said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, what is it that's been stealing your joy? Come to the promise. I want you to analyze your attitude over the next few weeks. When you start today, now I'm going to give us several weeks to work this through. Analyze your attitude. Begin reviewing and remembering God's promises. Celebrate God's character. You may not be happy about your life, but celebrate God's character. And then choose joy in your journey. By all means, friends, get this. Believing God's promises produces joy on the journey. Endorse the check. It was written for you. Let's pray. Lord, I stand amazed at the practicalness of your book, at how you put people like me in there, like Zacharias. and doubting at the very moment I should be joyful. And yet you always, always, always come through. And so as I talk to my brothers and sisters here today, and as they listen to me, I'm asking that you would speak to them. Because you know the severity of their loss and their shame. You know what it is that has marked their soul, that you no longer want to be there, that you want them moving into joy and letting go of that dark place. And so I just bring that up before you, and I'm praying that you right now, Father, would draw by their spirit that thought to mind, and they would begin to see the promise that applies to their person, that they could endorse the check today. Father, I pray for those who are barren, that you would give them a child that they prayed for. I pray for those who are barren in relationships that you would give them that relationship that they've been hungry for. For those who are barren in poverty, that you would be bringing provision into their place. And Father, if we need to open up our hearts, I pray you would make us a more generous congregation with one another. That we might experience great joy. Because that's what you have for us. And so for those who have never known the joy of your forgiveness, I ask today that it would be a day of salvation. May they turn to you and believe that indeed there's forgiveness to all who call upon you. For the glory of Jesus Christ, I ask it, and I thank you for it. I thank you for what we're going to see. Before I ever see it, I just praise you for what you're going to do with your word. You're an awesome, awesome God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior who died, who bore our sin, and who rose again from the dead, and who's coming again soon, we ask it in His name, for His glory. Amen.